Well, it's a good thing to belong to Jesus Christ. And the last time we were together here as a church family, we were in a series called In Step with the Spirit. Maybe you can see the little sign back there behind the drums. And we would have finished up this series last weekend if we'd have been together. But I decided this morning it would be a great time to wrap up this series, maybe offer some timely encouragement of the value of what it means to belong to Jesus Christ. For those of us that have crossed the line of belief, we remember that there is this amazing gift of the presence of God that comes and takes up residence in our life through the power of the Holy Spirit. And He's there, the presence of God is there through the power of the Holy Spirit in the best, in the worst of times, and even uncertain times. The same night that Jesus told His disciples that He was going to go away, but He was going away to prepare a place for us who would devote our lives to following Him, Jesus said that His Father would send another one. Jesus called Him the Advocate, or the Holy Spirit, whom the Father, He said, will send in My name. And He said, He will teach you all things that I have said. And then on the heels of that, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't let them be afraid. And in certain times, uncertain times like this, it is so wonderful to know that the presence of God reminds us that He's always there and He provides peace that we can't find anywhere else. And right now, one of the greatest benefits of being a follower of Jesus Christ is the peace that the Holy Spirit brings to our lives, because God has taken up residence there. He takes up residence in the lives of those who have given their lives to following Jesus Christ and who have found a right standing in that with the Creator God. Peace of God reminds us that God knows everything. He knows what's going on. He knows what we need even before we ask, because He holds tomorrow in His hands. It's good to know that we can have peace, that while life might be uncertain, that for followers of Jesus Christ, we always know that the eternal destination question is settled because of One who conquered the grave, and He gave us a word, He gave us His word, that anyone who would live and believe in Him would live even though they die. And today, those are the things that the Spirit of God reminds us of. And while there are references made to the Spirit of God in songs and prayers and sermons, maybe we just don't talk enough or that much about the Holy Spirit. And some might think that the Holy Spirit is reserved for just certain churches or certain denominations. The Holy Spirit is so important in the lives of those who are followers of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a person that possesses all the attributes of deity, just like God the Father and Jesus the Son. He is equal in that triune God. And the Holy Spirit's work in our life is to create holy character. Not holier than thou, or not make us self-righteous, but through a cooperation in our behalf. Through a willful, intentional, purposeful choice to say no to some things that some others might say yes to, we make a willful, purposeful intention, a decision to keep in step with the Spirit. To quote the New Testament letter writer known to us as Paul in his letter, that New Testament letter called Galatians, in chapter 5, verse 25, he said, verse 16, he says we need to choose to walk by the Spirit. And what he means by that is that it's an intentional way of life. Faith, for those in early biblical times, it was not just something that was this something they added to their life? It was their life. It was their way of life. And when Paul says this is a walk, he's talking about an intentional way that you would choose to live. And in verse 25, where we kind of built this series from, he says, because we live by this Spirit, he said, let's keep in step with this Spirit. And when we do that, when you go back to verse 16, he says, you will not, by this willful, purposeful, intentional choice, that the way you choose to live, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Because if we don't make that intentional decision, there's a real likelihood that Paul offers a list, and I'll let you go back and take a look at that earlier in the verses before that, if you've got your Bible out, and maybe you'll go grab one and look at it. But he says, if we don't make this willful, intentional choice, he offers this list of the things that just our human flesh is likely to produce in our lives rather than what the Holy Spirit wants to produce in our lives. So go back and take a look at that list on your own in Galatians 5:25, and keep in mind that Paul was trying to communicate the fact that those characteristics, back in verse 25, are the characteristics, they aren't representative of those who are followers of Jesus Christ. Because he says in verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified or put to death the flesh with its passions and its desires. It was a real common theme for Paul. You find it in a lot of his letters in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5, verse 15. He talks about Jesus. He said he died for everyone so that those who receive this new life will no longer live for themselves. Again, that's a willful, purposeful, intentional choice. Instead, it's kind of like that repentance thing. I was going this way, but now I'm going this way. Instead, they live for Christ who died and was raised for them. And when we choose this intentional lifestyle, we no longer live for ourselves, but for the one who died and was raised. And we choose to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And in turn, the Holy Spirit, Paul says, produces what he refers to as, he calls it, the fruit of the Spirit. He offers this list of visible expressions of this power that's working inside us. It's invisible, but it somehow becomes the power that's invisible inside us, begins to demonstrate visible traits that people can begin to see that the Spirit of God produces in our life. Here's that list. Maybe some of you have had these hanging on a plaque on your wall at home, or you remember them from Sunday school and church. If you grew up in Sunday school and church, he says, the fruit of the Spirit, and he gives us a list, is love and joy and peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. If you have time today, and some of you will have time, go back on your own and read through that list through verses 19 to 21. And you'll find that the acts of the sinful nature, there's a long list. And it's plural. There's a lot of them. Interesting, Paul says this is the fruit of the Spirit. It's singular. It's not the fruits. It is the fruit. And every one of these traits is linked to followers, the lifestyle, the intentional lifestyle, those who would walk by the Spirit, that the Spirit begins to produce in our lives. And as followers of Jesus Christ, they become a part of our everyday, ordinary life. It's interesting that Jesus made the observation one day, you'd find it in Matthew chapter 7 in the Gospels, he made this observation. He said, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. You can tell whether someone is redeemed, if they are a follower of Jesus Christ, if those traits are what would be recognizable as those who have chosen intentionally to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That list, the fruit, all of these things, it's singular. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, patience, it would be another word we'd put there, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love is that characteristic that Paul drives home through so many of his letters in the New Testament. A lot of people have used these words. They've had them read at their weddings from 1 Corinthians chapter 17. But the idea was really driven at followers of Jesus Christ who were struggling with just loving one another. In those opening words in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, if I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. That's what the fruit, those are the things that the Spirit of God produces in our life. It's supernatural as we choose to walk by this Spirit. The Spirit of God begins to produce in us an ability to love, not on our own, like we've never been able to love before. Jesus said it would be the trademark of those who would be his followers. He said that everyone will know that you're my disciples if you have this agape, authentic, self-sacrificing kind of love. Jesus' disciple John, in the letter that bears his name in the back of the New Testament, said that we know that we have passed from death to life. That's that reference that Jesus made also in the gospel, that whoever would hear his words and believe in him who sent me, he said we had been crossed from passed from death to life. And John used kind of that same language. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Man, to have joy today in your heart. Not just happiness, because obviously happiness sometimes is dependent upon circumstances and what's going on in life. And joy brings a down deep sense of well-being that isn't dependent upon situations or circumstances. Paul made this observation in his letter to Christians in Rome when he wrote his letter to them. He said, the kingdom of God is not about a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And if you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. They'll notice. As the Spirit of God produces this joy, it gives us this deep sense that everything's okay. That there's this deep sense of well-being that's not dependent upon situations or circumstances. But that God is actively at work. That He was already here before we got here. Because He's one without beginning or end. He says of Himself, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the God who says, I change not. The writers of the New Testament letter in Hebrews talks about Jesus being the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because He never changes, we have this deep sense of joy as His followers of Jesus Christ that He's got everything under control. We find that this following Jesus Christ isn't about a list of do's and don'ts. It's about this lifestyle of keeping in step with the Spirit. That even as we do that, and as we love folks, and as this joy just takes over, the gospel even becomes attractive to others. I remember growing up in Sunday school and church. Sometimes in Sunday school, we would sing a little song that talked about the joy of the Lord being our strength. come from the Old Testament story of Nehemiah. In a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit produces in our lives a strength, a place of refuge, a protection, a stronghold. Solomon, in his writings in the Old Testament, his wise sayings, as he talks about God, he talks about the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they're saved. The joy of the Lord is a constant gladness. It causes us to be able to rejoice, because even when people are asking questions today like where and why and how, those of us who have put our hope in the Creator God, who have learned to trust Him with all of our heart, we turn to this one that the Old Testament songwriters would write about. I think about those words in Psalm 121 when he would say, "The one who supplies our unending joy says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth." It's good to have peace. The Holy Spirit of God brings peace to our lives, that sense of personal wholeness and tranquility and peace of mind and heart, that everything is in place just like it ought to be. And one of the things that Paul talks about, even about who Jesus Christ is, he makes the reference to him in his New Testament letter called Ephesians. He says that Jesus Christ himself has brought us peace. He is our peace because he is the one. If you ever needed that reassurance, maybe today, he's the one that bridges this enormous gulf between sinful men and a holy God. When he stretched out his arms on the cross of Calvary to say, "I am the only way to the Father." And with that, we can live with this incredible tranquility of mind and heart, that everything is in place, that everything is just like it ought to be because of what a holy God has done for me through his Son, Jesus Christ. To be patient. There's going to be a need for that with folks today. Maybe you're getting a little even as you spend more time and maybe than you're used to, maybe you might be impatient. But remind, as you spend time in the Word of God and you spend time alone in prayer, just pray that God would give you additional patience, that would really be evident to all that you really are a little more tolerant. You have the ability to endure injury afflicted by others without feeling like you have to retaliate. To be calm, to accept situations that might be even irritating and painful, that you would be slow to anger. That would be evident by this willful, purposeful, intentional choice to walk by the Spirit. That the Holy Spirit of God would produce patience, that you would even hear that small, still voice of the Spirit at times when you're just about ready to unload or to launch that missile that you thought somebody deserved, that you would hear that the fruit of the Spirit is forbearance. To use the a previous translation, early translation, it would be the word long-suffering. Kindness, gentleness. Think about what Paul told his young protege in the faith named Timothy. He said, "Don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights." He said, "A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, to be able to teach and be patient with difficult people." That's what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus Christ. These instructions, they didn't have one of these when this was all being written. They were reading letters. How do I flesh this out? What does it look like to be a follower of Jesus Christ? What does it look like to walk by the Spirit? says the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. To do and to be good. To actively pursue kindness and sweetness. To be faithful, faithfulness. To be loyal, to be trustworthy. Gentleness. You might use another word that Jesus talked about in the Beatitudes. Meekness. Not weakness, meekness, which means strength under control. And yet, when you think about that, the word meek or gentle, every time I hear that, I always think about that's exactly how Jesus described himself. Maybe you remember those words of Jesus in Matthew 11. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, what I teach, my teachings, the yoke upon you, and learn from me." Notice what he says, "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And some of you needed to hear those words again today. To come to him, because he is gentle and humble of heart. And some of you need to find rest for your souls today. The last in that list is the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Restraining passions. Restraining appetites. You know, when Paul is writing this letter and he's talking about walking by the Spirit so that you won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. All of that, again, is it's intentional. It's purposeful. It's a willful way, a choice of living. Paul uses the same kind of language when he writes to another ministry companion named Titus. In his letter to him, he says, "The grace of God has appeared that teaches us that he said, the grace of God appeared that offers salvation to all people, and it teaches us to say no. There's some things other people will say yes to. But for those of us who choose to walk by the Spirit, Paul would say, the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, there it is again, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who," it's important to put this with it, "who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are of his very own." And notice what it says, "who are eager to do what is good." What does that all come back to? Exactly where we started in Galatians 5, that those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. And that's why Paul would say in verse 25, because we've made this willful, purposeful, intentional choice to live by the Spirit, he says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So as I wrap this up, don't you know that in uncertain times, like none of us have ever lived through before, more than ever, we need to keep in step with the Spirit. Even in these days of social distancing, there are folks that know. There are folks that know whether you have the joy and peace in your life that's the fruit of the Spirit, or if your life is racked or wrecked with panic and fear. There are people that know if you're trustworthy. The question this morning people may have is, can you find peace in the midst of uncertainty? In the panic, in the rush for supplies, are you gentle? Are you kind? Are you filled with the sweetness, actively pursuing kindness to others? One of the things I mentioned the last time we were together was from Paul's letter called Ephesians in chapter 4. He said, "The Holy Spirit is the proof that you belong to God." The God who blesses us with this gift of the Holy Spirit can use people just like us to reveal his presence, that's desperately needed. The invitation's a simple one from where we started. It's an invitation to make a choice. Again, those words from Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit. It is a choice. It's a choice to make an intentional decision whether we will or we will not be in step with the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. And for your sake, and for the sake of others, I pray that we will. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for his presence in our lives that reminds us that you are there. Through that small, still, gentle whisper that we sometimes hear, or sometimes maybe even try to just maybe try to push away or try not to hear. Thank you that you remind us that you're there. Sometimes even that nudge of another place, a new direction, a change of direction sometimes you want in our lives. And I thank you for your Spirit that reminds us that Jesus said that would be that which would remind us of the things that he taught and would lead us into all truth. And so today, one more time, for those that are watching, those that are listening, those who may see this in a day or two, might there be choices, intentional, willful choices be made to choose to walk by the Spirit. And as more people do, that there might be something that takes place in many people's lives, in the life even of our own nation, that we would see you do something miraculous, that even you bring healing to our land. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.